All right, we're here in John chapter 14, verse 6. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6, it's our text verse for the week. It says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus clearly said he was the way, indicating he is the way to heaven. There is no other option. There's no secondary option where, well, Muslims can make it this way or Buddhists can make it. No, Jesus is the way for everyone. He died for the sins of the whole world. He is the only way to heaven. And it says he is the truth, indicating every other religion is false.
Right.
Every single one. You say, well, there's some truth in that. No, it's all false, okay? Because it's teaching a different way to get to heaven, okay? And it says, and the life. So in order to receive eternal life, it is through Jesus Christ. Now, what we're going to do in this sermon, though, is compare the Bible, the Word of God, to a book called the Tao Te Ching. And the Tao Te Ching is the second most translated book ever behind the Bible. Okay. Now, this is a philosophy that came, Taoism or Taoism, that came out of China. And there's a few hundred million people that follow this as their primary philosophy, they're going to say, not really religion. But hundreds of millions of people that follow this. You say, Brother Stuckey, I've never heard of Taoism before. Well, I'm sure you've come in contact with it. But think about the black and white circle with that little curved line down the middle. And on the white side, there's that black dot in the white side, right? And on the black side, there's that white dot within the black side. And I'm going to explain what that exactly means. That is Taoism. Or if you've seen that, the weird Chinese martial arts like Tai Chi, that comes from Taoism. That's actually part of their religion, okay? They believe if they follow this force, it's going to help them just, right? That is Taoism. And the movie series Star Wars is based off Taoism, okay? The movie series Star Wars with the Force and the dark side, it seems crazy to us, but that's your Chinese martial arts. That's Taoism right there.
Right.
Okay. This is actually a very common philosophy. And the thing that's dangerous with philosophies like this, as opposed to false religions like Islam, is somebody can follow a philosophy partially, where they don't give their entire life to it like it's their religion, but some of that philosophy ends up creeping into their lives, okay? So these are the two most translated books, the Tao Te Ching and the Bible. Now, I started reading the Tao Te Ching one night on my phone on PDF. It was like 11 o'clock at night, you know, before I fell asleep. And I was only planning to read for 10 minutes out of curiosity. But I realized it's actually a very short book. It takes less than an hour and a half to read. So I read through it once passively, and then I read through it again and wrote down every single thing I could find that is contrary to the Bible. And as far as I've seen, I've never seen a real comparison between these two most translated books ever, so I figured, you know, it'd be appropriate to preach on that. So when it comes to Taoism, well, where do you get the name Taoism? Well, the Tao or the Tao means the way. You say, why are we using John 14, verse 6? Because the philosophy itself says this is the way. That is what the Tao is. When people say follow the Tao in your life, they're saying that is the way to live your life. That's blasphemous.
Yeah, right.
Jesus Christ is the way. And you know what the Bible says? I hate every false way.
Man, right.
You say, Brother Stuckey, isn't it a harmless philosophy of being nice to other people? No, it's evil, it's wicked, and it's against the Bible. And the Bible says you should hate every false way.
Man.
Every false way. Whether it's Islam, whether it's Buddhism, whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Taoism, whatever the religion, whatever the false philosophy, anything that stands against the Bible. And in the name itself of that book, it's saying it is the way. Okay? Here are some quotes from the Tao Te Ching. This is the way of heaven. This is the way of heaven. Well, that sounds kind of blasphemous, doesn't it?
Right.
Now, I will say this. With this philosophy, they don't believe in a creator God, which we'll see later on. And they tell you don't live for the afterlife. Live for your present time now. But it's saying, you know, this is the way you should live your life. It's just follow this Tao in your life. Okay? It says also in chapter 21, verse 1, the great virtue is to follow the Tao and only the Tao. So don't follow Jesus Christ. Follow the Tao. This mythological force that's out there with no creator God, that's what they're telling you to follow. In chapter 55 of the Tao Te Ching, it says, this is not the way of Tao, and that which goes against the Tao will quickly pass away. So it's very obvious in the Tao Te Ching, it is claiming to be the way to live your life. That's blasphemous. It stands against John chapter 14, verse 6. Okay? Now, turn in your Bible to Romans 1. Romans 1. And I'll go through a couple of quick things as introduction before we get into this. But the person who wrote the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu, he wrote it thousands of years ago. This is a very old philosophy coming from China. And yet, when he wrote it, he's not the originator of this philosophy, nor does he claim to be the originator. Here's some quotes from the Tao Te Ching, the ancient followers of the Tao. So thousands of years ago, he wrote the ancient, indicating in the past, the ancient followers of the Tao. So out of his own mouth, he's saying, hey, this is the philosophy that's been in China since the very beginning. That's what he's basically saying. He said, why do the ancients value the Tao? The ancients who practice the Tao. And so over and over again, he talks about in the ancient times, over in China, in that part of the world, he says people follow this force to guide them. Okay? And so look, this is not a new philosophy. And you know what? That makes sense as a Bible-believing Christian because there is no new thing under the sun. All of the false religions, all of the false philosophies, all they are the same thing with a different bow, a different color wrapper, and sometimes they're like, you know what, we're going to take this religion and this religion and combine it into a new religion. But it's not new. It's the same thing. And the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot before the flood, but I promise you, people followed the same sort of philosophy back then as well. If 300 million people follow it today as their primary philosophy, 5% of the world, guess what? Lots of people followed it before the flood as well, because there is no new thing under the sun. And so, point number one, I want to give you some links to other Eastern philosophies. Because Taoism is different than Hinduism. Taoism is different than Buddhism. And yet, there's also a great crossover as well. So we're going to look at a couple things that are similar with Eastern philosophies and see how those contradict the Word of God. But one of the main things in Hinduism is they say that you cannot comprehend God at all. Now, there's a shred of truth to that, but the Bible actually tells us we can comprehend many things about God.
Right.
It says in Romans 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it on them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So the invisible things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says that we can understand even his eternal power and the Godhead, the very nature of God, by just looking at what God has created. It's built inside of you, and you can look at what God created. And the Bible says we can know certain things about God by what he created. It's not that we're randomly here trying to guess the great mysteries of life. No, we actually have the Word of God to guide us, and the things that he made can actually teach us certain things, okay? But that's not what they teach in Taoism. That's not what they teach in Hinduism. They say it's so confusing, we can't comprehend anything, and what Hindus will say of why they worship idols is because God is so far beyond our realm that we just must make something and start worshiping it. So we're going to basically take this force and put it inside of a box and just pretend it's real. Right? That is what Hindus will say why they worship idols. They admit to worshiping idols. Say, Brother Sucky, why do Catholics worship idols? I have no idea. That's the reason why Hindus do it. I still haven't figured out why Catholics do it. Right? When the Bible says clearly don't do it. But this is similar to Taoism, though they say you cannot comprehend it all. This is what it says in the first verse of the Tao Te Ching. The Tao that can be spoken of is not the eternal Tao. So if you can know anything about this mythological force that's out there, then that's not actually the true mythological force. That's what it's basically saying. Verse 2, the name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the beginning of heaven and earth. So basically, we don't really realize why we're here. The nameless is what created everything. Just this force that just happened to create everything, and here we are today, that is what Taoism has been teaching for thousands of years, okay? It says in chapter 4 of the Tao Te Ching, and go to Philippians 2. It says in chapter 4, it is the deep and unfathomable source of the 10,000 things. It is the unknown first mother whose gate is the roof from which grew heaven and earth. And so, it's the unknown first mother, this mother nature that we're supposed to worship, And that is what Taoism actually teaches. But it's very similar to Hinduism. Because Hinduism teaches we can't understand this force. It's not really a creator, personable God that we pray to, and what a friend we have in Jesus. That's not really what they believe in these Eastern philosophies, okay? The other thing that's very common with Hinduism is Hinduism teaches that God is completely invisible, okay? Now, here's the thing. You can't see God right now, but when you die and go to heaven, guess what? You're going to actually see God. It's not just some force that's just kind of out there in the air, but it's actually three persons in the Godhead, okay? The Trinity the Bible teaches. This is what it says, though, in the Tao Te Ching. Yet hold fast to this ancient Tao, and you will experience the present now moment. Know its beginnings, and you can follow the path of the Tao. So they want you to experience the present now moment, and if you know the beginnings, then you're going to do that. Basically, if you come to the realization that it's a force that created everything, you can live for today rather than living for the afterlife. Okay, well, that's pretty much the opposite of the Bible, isn't it? Doesn't the Bible say, well, instead of worrying about the things on earth, worry about the things that are in the afterlife? But according to Taoism, it's an atheistic philosophy. Guess what? You can have the present now moment if you realize that you were created by some force that's just kind of out there, right? Nothing new under the sun. Same thing that there's always been. It also says in the Tao Te Ching, I do not know its name, so I call it Tao. Because Tao means way. So the name of the philosophy is the way. So they're saying there is no name of this force. They don't believe in a name of a God. But what does the Bible say? Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now look, we understand that Jesus Christ is the second person of the Godhead. We also understand that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now one thing to realize when you're reading the Bible, there are various names given to God. Right? I mean, it talks about in the book of Genesis, by my name Jehovah I was not known to them, but by the name God Almighty. When a new name comes like Jehovah, that does not replace God Almighty.
Right.
God Almighty is still a name of God.
Right.
Jehovah is still a name of God. Okay? Jesus Christ is the name above every name, the Bible says. And they can say that there's no name, but you know what? They're going to actually bow down one day and beg for mercy from Jesus Christ, and there is going to be no mercy. Now, turn your Bible to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. It also says the Tao is forever nameless in chapter 32. Chapter 41, the Tao is hidden and nameless. Yet it is the Tao alone that supports all things and brings them to completion. And so there is no name to the Tao. It's just this way, but it's just this force that they believe in. But the Bible says there actually is a name of God. There's many names given to God. It says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men. Now, they don't believe this in Taoism. They don't believe in praying to a God because they don't believe that there is a creator God. They don't believe in a personable God that you pray to. This is one of the three big philosophies you have in China. You have Buddhism. You have Confucius or Confucianism, and then you have Taoism. These are the three big philosophies. This is a very atheistic philosophy because if you actually believe this 100%, you don't believe in God. You just believe in this force that actually created you. Okay? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. And there's differences between these different Eastern philosophies. We're just looking at similarities, though, just in the first point. There's also a lot of links to Buddhism. And in Buddhism, one of the big things is get rid of your desires. Because if your desires aren't met, it's going to make you unhappy. So basically, if you want to be happy, get rid of your desires, and then you're going to end up having happiness. That's what it teaches in Buddhism. One of the big things they say in Buddhism is that one thing you cannot know is for sure about the afterlife. So basically, it's training people to not want to listen to the gospel because they're being taught, well, you can't know that. You're going to end up creating a desire that can't be fulfilled. It's going to lead to depression. So you should not want to know you're going to heaven because you're never going to be able to fulfill that desire. You can't know that for sure. It's what they teach. Same thing with Taoism, as they say, get rid of your desires. Okay? It says here in the Tao Te Ching, send your desires away and you will see the mystery. Be filled with desire and you will see only the manifestation. And so get rid of the desires and you're going to find this hidden mystery behind the world. Actually, the Bible says if you want to know the deep things of God, you actually have to desire His Word.
Man,
you have
right.
to read His Word to know the mystery.
Right.
Okay? And what does it say in 1 Peter 2, verse 2? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby.
Right.
The Bible teaches we should desire to read God's Word. We should love God's Word. Look, and we live in a country where we all have Bibles. Every single one of us. I mean, most of us probably have multiple Bibles. You have it on your phone. You have it at home. And you know, in many parts of the world, they don't have access to the Word of God. We need to desire God's Word, and you know what? That is how you're going to reach the mystery. Now look, you receive eternal life by just believing. However, if you want to know the deep things of God and the mystery, as it says in 1 Corinthians, you know what? You need to desire God's Word. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Here's some other verses from the Tao Te Ching. Therefore, the true person governs by emptying the heart of desire and filling the belly with food, weakening ambitions and strengthening bones. It says, diminish thoughts of self and restrain desires. It says this about their creator force that they believe in, the Tao. The nameless, uncarved block can protect against desire. That's the God, so to speak, that they believe in, this nameless, uncarved block. Okay. When desires are restrained, there will be peace, and then all under heaven will be at rest. So the secret to world peace is everybody gets rid of their desires, and we're going to have world peace. Boy, that sounds really intelligent. And yet, there's hundreds of millions of people that this is their philosophy, right? What does it say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1? Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And the Bible speaks about desiring spiritual gifts. There are things that we should desire.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Look, you should have desires and goals in your life.
Man, right.
Just, well, I'm going to wake up and let the force guide me wherever I go. You're going to destroy your life.
Right.
You're going to accomplish nothing if that's your philosophy for living your life. You say, Brother Saki, what if I walk up to some high mountain and I just... You're going to be a loser. You're going to accomplish nothing. I get it. It looks beautiful. You got somebody on top of a tall mountain and everything, and they're just relaxing and everything. But you know what? That doesn't pay the bills, my friend. It's like, yeah, if that was the secret to getting money to drop down from heaven, then hey, that would be great. But that's not the way it works.
Right.
And if you want to accomplish something, you can't just sit there and meditate for hours every day like this and just everything's going to work out in life. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Here's some more quotes from the Tao Te Ching. There's no greater offense than harboring desires. So, worse than murder, worse than pedophilia, worse than rape is having desires, than harboring desires. It says, I am free from desires, and the people themselves return to the simplicity of the uncarved block. So, get rid of the desires of this world, and you know, you can go back to that uncarved block and just meditate on that force and just watch Star Wars all day and just be like, wow, this is really, it's science fiction.
Right.
Right.
Fiction means not true.
Right.
Okay? Look, when I was a kid, because in the U.S., everybody has seen Star Wars 20 times. At least every guy has seen Star Wars 20 times. I loved Star Wars when I was a kid, but you know what? I always considered it science fiction.
Right.
I didn't realize this is actually a religion. It's like, what in the world? It's like, how can somebody believe that? Okay? It says, therefore, the true person seeks freedom from desire. So your goal should be to get rid of desires, according to the Tao Te Ching. But what does the Bible say in Colossians 3, verse 1? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look, there is a shred of truth to getting rid of desires in your life, but the question is, what desires right. do you get rid of?
Right.
And yes, you know, we should have our affection set on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, in this philosophy, they say don't set your affection on things above. Set it on things of the earth. It's literally the exact opposite of what the Bible says. Because they teach you cannot know what's going to happen afterwards, so just worry about now and just set your affection on things on the earth. But see, the Bible says the exact opposite. We should get rid of worldly desires and live for the things of God. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. So point number one, we see links to Eastern philosophies. Point number two, let us talk about their version of the creation of the world and nature itself. So you could probably tell from the quotes earlier and what I said, they don't believe in a creator God. They basically believe in the Big Bang Theory. This force just created everything. You say, Brother Stuckey, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about because the Big Bang Theory came in the 20th century and it was a new theory. No, actually, you're the one who's without knowledge because in Greek mythology they taught the same thing. In Taoism, which is thousands of years old, predating Jesus Christ, they were teaching something very similar to the Big Bang Theory. Look, just because you have a different name attached to it doesn't change anything.
Right.
You believe some force created everything. How is that much different than the Big Bang Theory? Sounds pretty similar to me. All the matter just condensed into a dot, and then boom, and then here we are. Right? That is what Taoism teaches. It says in chapter 6, I read it to you earlier, it is the unknown first mother whose gate is the root from which grew heaven and earth. It's the unknown first mother, and it is the root which grew heaven and earth. Meaning, this force created heaven, and this force created earth. This is essentially atheism. This is the Big Bang Theory, right? And what does the Bible say in Genesis 1, verse 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you know, what's interesting about this is whenever you look at philosophies like this, they'll explain, well, this created heaven and earth, but what created the Tao to begin with? Right? They don't have an answer to it. They try to criticize us as Bible-believing Christians. Well, where did God come from? Well, where did the Tao come from? Right? And it actually makes sense that it's hard to comprehend God because we're the creation.
Right.
We were created, so of course we can't fully comprehend the Creator. So it makes sense if you believe in God that guess what? God's smarter than us.
Right.
He knows more than us. He's outside of time. He's the beginning and the end. And you know what? No, that doesn't make sense to me because you know what? We have a beginning. We have an end. But see, God has always been here. But see, with Taoism, they say, well, you know, it's just this unknown force, and then just that's where everything came from. Okay? Turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Let me read you some quotes from the Tao Te Ching as you're turning to 1 John 5. It says, from ancient times to the present, the Tao's instructions have not been forgotten. Though it can be perceived the beginning of the story of life, how do I know how it was at the beginning of the story of life? Because of what is within me. So they teach that basically this force is inside of you, which is pretty similar to Hinduism because if you're worshiping idols, if you're doing a good job, they say, you'll realize that you're actually God. And he's actually within you. And your goal is to be separated from this world and go back and be part of that, you know, force that's out there. It says in the Tao Te Ching, it says, the Tao gives birth to the one gives birth to two gives birth to three, and three gives birth to the 10,000 things. It says the Tao gives life to all things. Thus, the Tao gives life to all things. Now look, they claim they don't believe in God, but to me it sounds like you believe in God. It's just that your God is a force. Because if you believe this thing is eternal, it's always existed, and it's what created everything, that sounds like a God to me.
Right, right.
This is their version of God. It's a warped version, but this is what their basic version is of who God is, right? Because they believe this is eternal, it had no beginning, and it gave birth to everything, but it's just this kind of force that's out there, okay? It talks also about Mother Nature and Mother God a lot. It says this in the Tao Te Ching, chapter 52, verse 1. All things, and that beginning can be considered the mother of all things. When you know the mother, you will also know the children. Know the children, yet hold fast to the mother. Okay? Now look, this is also very similar to Eastern philosophy because they really push having a mother god.
Right, right.
It's a very common thing to say, well, you know, there's a mother god. Well, where is a mother god in the Bible? The Bible says in 1 John 5 or 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible speaks about a Father God. It doesn't speak about a Mother God. There is a Father God. There's not a Mother God. Guess what? Jesus Christ had short hair. He was a man.
Right.
Okay? Now, turn to Genesis 1. Let me show you a verse real quickly. I'm going to turn there myself. And the Bible's very clear on this. There is a cult that's out there, the World Mission Society, and they teach this Mother God thing. And I was curious one day. I just kind of went up to them and started talking to them. And I was just like, you know, just tell me, what do you tell people? And I just wanted to listen to hear what they would say, because I had no idea. And the first thing they started to talk about was Mother God. That was their opening. Now, you would expect your opening to be your strongest thing.
Right.
And that's the first thing they started with, was that there's a Mother God. I mean, if there's a Father God, this is what they said, there's got to be a Mother God, right? I was like, no. They started with this philosophical argument, and they said, well, we can prove to you that there's a Mother God in Genesis chapter 1. I was like, all right, well, let's go there. I was like, I want to see this, right? So Genesis 1, verse 27, and this is the verse they turned me to, okay? It says, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. They said, well, see, men and women are created in the image of God, therefore there must be a father and a mother God. I was like, well, wait a minute. I mean, maybe I read something a little bit different than you, because when I read this, it says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Not them.
Right.
Him.
Right.
Man is made in the image of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, it says male and female were created by him. Right? He created male and female, but man is made in the image of God.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches. I mean, that's their number one argument. It's like, in this verse, it clearly says that men are made in the image of God, not women. Male and female created he them, but wait a minute, who is in the image of God? Man's in the image of God.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches. Now, when you look at these philosophies like Hinduism, you might not realize this, but with all of their gods, they have a female counterpart.
Right.
When you look at Shiva, there's the female counterpart. And some of their stories, that's their wife, but then when you actually read it, it's just representing something of attributes of God. And they say, well, you can't have a man without a woman. Right? And so that's what they'll teach, that there's actually a mother god, this mother force that's out there. There's a father. There's a mother. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches a father god, not a mother god. Turn to Matthew 24. And attached to this idea of creation and nature is they teach you to worship nature. Because they teach you to live for this present now earth. Don't live for the things that are eternal, because you know you can't know if there's a heaven and a hell and stuff like that. So live for your present now earth, and they'll teach you to worship nature. Worship the animals, worship the rivers, worship the creature rather than the creator, right? That's what they teach. Now, what does it say in Matthew 24, verse 35? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And so what the Bible teaches is this earth is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And it's going to take what's destroyed and make it new, but it's a new earth because this one has been destroyed. But this is what it says in the Tao Te Ching, heaven and earth last forever. Heaven and earth last forever. Well, here's the problem with that philosophy. If you believe that heaven and earth last forever and they're meant to last forever, you're going to spend your life being an environmental wacko. You're going to be obsessed with protecting Mother Nature. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't understand people that just throw trash in the ground. I'm a very neat person. I can't stand having a mess or things being dirty. But at the same time, I do realize that God, according to the book of Revelation, is going to destroy this place.
Right.
So I'm not going to spend my entire life making an issue about protecting the environment when God's going to destroy it one day. And what's interesting, the people that are going to destroy this planet are not us as Bible-believing Christians.
Right. Right.
It's the environmentalists. You say, why? Because sin is what's going to destroy this planet. God's going to destroy this because of sin. What destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Bible-believing Christians? No, the Sodomites.
Right.
I mean, that's what destroyed this world before the flood. Wickedness is what brought God's judgment, and God's going to bring his judgment because the world is heading down a downward slope to hell of getting more and more wicked. Okay? But in Taoism, it teaches you worship Mother Nature because heaven and earth last forever. Okay? Now go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. That's why it tells you to worship the present now moment. Experience the present now moment. You know what's holding you back in your life? You're too focused on the Bible. You're too focused on thinking about heaven and hell. If you would quit thinking about the afterlife, you could experience the present now moments. I mean, you could have fun doing drugs, getting drunk, and destroying your life. You could experience the present now moment if you just forget about the afterlife and heaven and hell. You know, the problem with that is that heaven and hell is real.
Right.
And you know what? If you actually believe in heaven and hell, it changes your entire philosophy and way of life. There's no way around it.
Right.
If I did not believe in hell, I'm just being honest with you. If I did not believe in hell, you know what? I would have no reason to be a preacher. We'd have no reason to go soul winning.
Right.
But when you believe that, it's going to change the way you live your life. Okay? And see, in Taoism, they teach you, well, you can't know if there's a heaven, you can't know there's a hell, so you're wasting your time on something that's not sure, you better just live for today. But see, the Bible says if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know that you have eternal life.
Right.
And honestly, they might not get it. I mean, they won't get it. But when you get saved, you have that flash of lightning that hits your head like, wow, okay, I get it now. Right? It's like you get saved and you realize, wow, all of this is real. And before you're saved, you might even go to church and be religious. You might be a Baptist or whatever. But once you actually get saved, then it's just like, wow. It's like a completely different worldview as you now understand basically the meaning of life. When I got saved, I realized my goal is to get other people saved. I'm not saying every single person thinks that when they get saved, but that's what I thought. I was like, man, heaven and hell's real. I know how to get to heaven. I better try to help people get to heaven, right? But see, in Taoism, you cannot know about the afterlife, so just live for today. Just live it up now. And so it says in Romans 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And this is exactly what Taoism does. They worship the creature rather than Creator God. They just marvel at the animal rather than marveling at the God that actually created that animal. Now, Romans 1 is a very popular scripture people go to look at atheists, and that certainly is an application. But this also applies to a lot of religions or philosophies out there that are teaching you to worship the creation rather than the creator.
Right.
Animism is considered the oldest philosophy or religion by the experts. Right? And what animism teaches is that God is in everything. God's in this. God's in that. And just everything. Just worship this. I mean, you can worship whatever you want. Because God is in everything. That's what they teach. Right? Now turn in your Bible to Judges 17. Judges 17. Judges 17. Now, you might not realize this, but the other one of those three big philosophies, Buddhism. Buddhism doesn't believe in a creator God either. Now I don't really believe that either because Buddha is basically their God. They worship Buddha.
Right.
They go to a pilgrimage to worship where Buddha was born in Nepal. It's like, well, it sounds like you believe that he's your God. Right? They have Buddha all throughout their house and they bow down. But they say that they don't believe in a creator God. So it's two out of the three big philosophies coming out of China. Basically, there is no creator God. Just these atheistic sorts of philosophies. That leads to point number three, which is the difference in authority and morality in the Word of God versus the Tao Te Ching. The Tao Te Ching and Taoism teaches that there should be 0% authority and no rules in any area of life. Any area. Meaning as parents, 0% authority on your children. That is what they teach. That you should not teach your children what to do. You should not have a boss at work. 0% authority in this world. And the reason why they say that is, well, there's this Tao flowing through every single one of us. And if somebody has the Tao flowing through them, and you try to interrupt that Tao, then you're getting in the way with that force that's guiding them in some direction. So they teach that, you know what, if your four-year-old son says, I want ice cream for breakfast, you are wrong for not letting him have ice cream. Do whatever he wants. Now look, this is just about the dumbest thing you can ever hear.
Right.
But this is what they teach. And you know what? The thing is, when I look at documentaries and stuff like this, I fact check stuff. I read their big holy book twice. This is what they teach, that there is no authority, no morality. This is what it says in the Tao Te Ching. When the great Tao is forgotten, which is this mythological force or this way, it says this, benevolence and moral codes arise. Now, benevolence is what? Kindness. Okay, and I'll talk about that in a second. It's very bizarre. But it also said kindness and morality, moral codes, rules are going to arise if you forget about the Tao. If you forget that you came from an uncarved block, and from this force, okay? It says in chapter 19 of the Tao Te Ching, give up benevolence, give up kindness, discard moral judgments, and the people will rediscover natural compassion. Now you say, Brother Stuckey, why did they tell you to get rid of kindness? Why did they tell you to get rid of benevolence? Now, this is the most bizarre part of this philosophy, because I saw this documentary, and I had it on in the background, so I was only half paying attention, and I had to stop and rewind, and I'm like, they literally say, don't be kind to people, and that is what they teach. And here's an example that they gave. Let's say you find somebody on the side of the road, and let's say, for example, his life is messed. Let's say somebody gets a flat tire on the side of the road, and he's on the side of the road, raining and everything. You should not help that person out. The reason why is the Tao led them down that path. So if you try to interrupt the Tao, then you're getting in the way of where they're supposed to be led in life. And so now you're mixing Calvinism with your weird atheistic philosophy, right? But it's like the Tao is leading everybody down different roads in life, and you don't want to get in the way of that Tao. So if somebody decides to be a drug addict, let them be a drug addict. Somebody comes to you and says, man, I feel like I should cheat on my wife and commit adultery. It's like, well, that's where the Tao is leading you. This is what they teach. They say get rid of benevolence in their holy scripture or unholy scripture. Give up benevolence. Give up moral judgments. Basically, don't judge anybody. And then there's going to be real compassion in this world. That's what they teach. Now, this is bizarre.
Right.
What kind of philosophy or religion teaches you, don't be kind to people? It's funny because several years ago I saw this video over in China where somebody got hit by a car, and then you see all these people, he's on the side of the road, everyone just walks by like it's no big deal. Now I'm thinking those are probably just Taoists who are just like, well, that's where the Tao led them. They got hit by a car, they need an ambulance. Well, tough luck because I shouldn't help them, I shouldn't be kind. It's bizarre,
right.
It's weird. And so what does it say, though, in the Bible? It says in Judges 17, verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Because they say get rid of morality. Don't have any moral rules, any moral codes whatsoever. And the Bible gives us an example of what the world would be like if that were the case. In Judges 17, verse 6, there is no king, so everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. Go to chapter 21. Chapter 21. Chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 25. Chapter 1, verse 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So, in my opinion, Judges 17 through 21 are the weirdest five chapters of the Bible.
Right.
And it's basically bookended by this phrase, everybody does that which is right in his own eyes. No authority, no rules, and then people are committing the worst imaginable sins and all of this wickedness. You say, why? Because there is no punishment for doing wrong.
Right.
And you got the middle chapter in there, which we don't have time to look at, is Judges 19. And it's like, man, it's like Genesis 19 on steroids. It's worse.
Right.
And why is that? Because there was no punishment for doing those wicked sins. And I want you to realize that if we had no moral codes, no rules, no, nothing to tell us no. You know what the problem is? Us as Bible-believing Christians, we're still not going to kill people. We're still not going to rape. We're still not going to steal. But what about bad people?
Right.
They're going to do whatever they want. They're going to do what seems right in their own eyes. Whatever they feel like doing, they're going to do. right? So that's not going to protect us. Actually, having rules actually protects law-abiding citizens, okay? But they say there should be no morality whatsoever, even to the level that when you have children, you should let them do whatever they want. It's like, well, good luck with that philosophy. Go ahead and let your children do whatever they want and never tell them no and don't have any authority or rule over them. And you know what? You're going to raise a bunch of reprobate children. Okay? Now turn to Romans 3. Romans 3. Romans 3. Now, it's not hard to see why a philosophy like this can become popular, because what ends up happening inevitably is that governments do not follow the exact laws of the Bible, and many times they can be oppressive. But the reaction of Taoism is say, well, let's go to this far extreme and say, no morality, no rules, everybody can do what they want. No rules whatsoever. If you want to drive drunk, you should be allowed to drive drunk. I mean, what would the world be like if that were the case? I mean, if you kidnap a child, no punishment. Man, that'd be a pretty dangerous place to live, wouldn't it?
Right.
I mean, let's just be realistic. Where we live, two doors down from us, we've got a bunch of homos. Man, how safe do you think me and my wife would feel if they put up a new law that said, hey, whatever people want to do, no rules. Man, you know, we're going to add like 50 locks to that front door. Right?
Right.
That would be a scary world for a Bible-believing Christian. And you know, why isn't Genesis 19 and Judges 19 happen? Because there is no authority that's going to punish them for that.
Right.
And then the wicked people commit evil sins. Look, I understand that governments can be oppressive and we get mad at them, but you know what would be worse is no rules at all.
Right.
That would be the worst world to live in, an anarchist society of no rules. Bad rules are better than no rules. You say, how do you know that? Well, the Word of God. Because Judges 17 through 21 told us that. Here are some verses from the Tao Te Ching. It says, when the government is unseen, the people are simple and happy. When the government is lively, the people are cunning and discontented. Well, there's definitely some truth to that statement, but they go way too big of an extreme when they say, well, there should be no rules whatsoever and everybody governs themselves. It says, let all under heaven be governed in accordance with the Tao, and demons will not manifest their power. And so basically, let everybody just be guided by this force. So basically, everybody does that, which is right in his own eyes. Isn't that exactly what it's saying? Everyone gets guided by this inner light, as it calls it in the Tao Te Ching. Just let this inner light guide you into whatever you feel like is right. Well, that's pretty much the opposite of what the Bible says. There's a conversation in the Tao Te Ching in chapter 74, where it's a conversation between a Taoist or a Taoist and what they say an egoist, which is someone who's arrogant, self-centered, life revolves around them. And in this parable, so to speak, we are the self-centered one, okay? And then the Taoist is the person who's full of wisdom. And what it says here with the Taoist, when the people do not fear death, of what use is it to threaten them with death? So basically, don't threaten anyone with death no matter what they do, okay? Basically, no death penalty. And that the self-centered egoist, which is someone like us, it says, if the people were always afraid of death, and if those who did wrong would always be arrested and put to death, who would do wrong? So basically, the person that they say is wrong in this parable says, hey, if there's tough punishment for crime, then people are not going to do wrong. That's true.
Right.
That is what stops people. It's common sense. This is what stops kids. If they want to do something wrong, it's like, well, we're going to get out the stick. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? They stop. You know what stops people from committing crimes? They're afraid of getting arrested. They're afraid they're going to get a punishment. Yeah, you know what? If the death penalty was common for every murder that was proven, it would lower the murder rate quite a bit. If the death penalty was for every rape and kidnap and everything the Bible says, all of those, you know what? They would go down. Why? People would be afraid to get caught and get put to death. Because in our modern prison industrial complex that is around the world, especially in the U.S., you can go to jail for anything. People that get caught for pedophilia, they're in jail for a few years, back on the streets, and oftentimes their stay in jail is not that bad. They get 2 hours to work out in the weight room. They basically get free food handed them. They just get to sit in their cell and, you know, they sometimes get a cushy bed. They get to work out for a couple hours. That sounds nice to me. right? You get to work out for a couple hours. Like, I wish I had that sort of free time, right? And they get all this food handed to them. They don't really have to do anything. And it's just like, that is our modern prison industrial complex. But see, what the Bible teaches is if there was tough crime, tough punishment, it would prevent the crimes from actually taking place.
Amen.
Right. It talks about the Tao Te Ching that people are inherently good. People are not bad. People are inherently good. What it says is this: all denounce that good is good only because they also denounce what is bad. And I'll explain it here in a second, but good and bad are the same thing according to Tao. Okay, I'll explain that in a second. But it also says, is there a difference between yes and no? That's a rhetorical question in the Tao Te Ching. Is there a difference between yes and no? Yeah, there's a difference between those words. But the answer in this, it's a rhetorical question where they're saying there is no difference between yes and no. How great is the distinction between good and evil? Pretty big. But their answer to that is there is no distinction between good and evil. This is why they have this circle, and within the white side they have a black dot, because good and bad are intermeshed together. See, what people are confused about with this, the yin and the yang, they think that the white and black are contrasting with one another. No, 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 they're complementing one another. And they're the same thing according to the Tao Te Ching. So in Taoism, they teach that nothing is sin. Nothing. Nothing's wrong. They would teach that, no, pedophilia is not wrong. They would teach murder is not wrong. They would teach rape is not wrong. Kidnap is not wrong, because with all bad, there's some good mixed in it. With all good, there's some bad mixed in it. So it's the same thing. Is there a distinction between good and evil? And what they're saying here, it's a rhetorical question where the answer to that is no. What a bizarre philosophy. What kind of world would you live in where you're teaching kids at a young age, murder's not wrong, kidnap's not wrong, pedophilia's not wrong? What will be the result of people like that? And yet there's hundreds of millions of people that follow the second most translated book ever behind the Bible. What does the Bible say? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Amen.
And look, we could spend all day looking at verses talking about the sinfulness of man, and the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is no such thing as sin in Taoism, because nothing's really wrong. And they believe that this magical force is going to guide things to take place. So every bad thing that happened had to take place to get us at our present state. So there's nothing really bad, nothing really good. It's just the way of the Tao, and that's what flowed you that direction. Okay. Now turn in your Bible to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. It also says in the Tao Te Ching, therefore the Tao is great, heaven is great, earth is great, people are also great. Thus people constitute one of the four great things of the universe. So it puts man on level with God, basically, and man is great. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And you know what, I don't really understand where they're not getting the common sense on that, because if you have kids, you realize that kids do wrong.
Right.
Of course, I mean, I guess they're only allowed one kid over in China, so they don't have the experience of a boy and a girl fighting over a toy, right? Maybe this philosophy would be gone if they let them have more than one child over there, because they'd realize, oh, wow, these kids are not inherently good, right? So point number one we looked at is the links to other Eastern philosophies. Point two, we looked at, you know, their version of creation and nature. They don't believe in a creator God. They believe in just this force. We looked at authority and morality, and the result of not believing in a creator God is there are no rules. Same with atheism, right? If there is no creator God, you make your own rules, and that is what Taoism teaches. Point number four, a thing that is majorly pushed in the Tao Te Ching, this is the final point, is this: do not put forth effort in life. Do not work hard. That is a major, major point of the Tao Te Ching, okay? It says this, not in the Bible, but in the Tao Te Ching, thus the true person acts without striving and teaches without works. So act without striving. Don't strive. Don't put forth effort. You're going to accomplish more by sitting on your couch and doing nothing, according to this. You know what the secret is to getting really strong and getting big muscles? People think it's going to the weight room. No, no, no. The answer is sitting down on the couch for a couple hours every day, and then magically, man, where did these muscles come from? Right? That's what they're teaching. You know what the secret is to being intelligent? Don't read a book. Don't read a book. It's read a book. So, I mean, don't even learn how to read, right? If you want to be successful in life, don't learn how to read. Just let that doubt flow you in whatever direction you want to go. You know, that's a perfect example of the stupidity of not having authority and morality to children, because, you know what, children are going to pick the path of least resistance.
Right.
To do the hard thing.
Yep.
What it says in the Tao Te Ching is, you know, quit trying to swim against the current. Just go downstream and let the current just kind of take you where it takes you. Well, hey, that's a cute little phrase, but it's really stupid.
Right.
It's like working hard is not risking your life swimming into like a heavy current. Okay, that's not the same thing at all. Okay, and this is why these philosophies are popular, because they always have these cute sayings of people like, oh, that sounds really nice. Let me put that on my fridge, right? But if you actually follow this philosophy to its end, it is a very destructive and evil philosophy. It says in Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. The Bible says labor for 6 days. Now, what does it mean to labor for 6 days? Does that mean to work for a couple hours? Well, no, because they would work from sunup to sundown. We're talking 12 hours roughly in a day, depending on where you live, the time of year. Obviously, during the winter time, you know, there's less sunlight, things like that. But, you know, 12-hour days, and basically what the Bible is saying is work 72 hours. Spend 10 minutes getting a lunch break, but work. 6 days shalt thou labor. Labor means hard work. Don't just say, well, you know, I want to be successful in life. I started this new job. Let me just work a couple hours a day. I don't want to push myself. That's what the Tao Te Ching teaches. That's what Taoism teaches. Do not work hard, and that is your key to success. That's pretty much the opposite of the Bible. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Anyway, I don't know. It's just, people are dumb. I don't know if you realize that, but everybody in this world, and even people that do really well on tests and stuff, I mean, if people don't have the Bible guide them,
right.
They're just dumb.
Right.
I saw this video online where there's this Christian apologist, and I'm not into apologetics ministries, and I don't even know if this guy was saved, but he's doing a question and answer, and somebody comes up, this guy who's like 20 years old, he's got long hair and everything, and he comes up and he says, man, you know, I've been following the Tao in my life. And he said, you know, Taoism is a good philosophy and everything. The guy asked him this question. Breaks into your house in the middle of the night and puts a gun at your head. Is that wrong? He's like, yeah, that would be wrong. He's like, well, then you're not a Taoist. Because nothing's wrong in Taoism. I mean, literally nothing's wrong. And you're supposed to discard moral judgments. So if somebody breaks into your house in the middle of the night and kills your family, don't judge them. That is what Taoism teaches. It's not wrong. And then the guy's like, yeah, I guess you're right. It's like, I guess I'm not a Taoist. It's like, yeah, he didn't really think that one through, did he? It's like, it might sound cute with these cool little phrases, but if you actually understand what this teaching, this is dumb. It's evil, it's wicked, it's going to destroy your life. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by strength of the ox. See, the Bible says the strength of the ox results in much increase, but the result is it's going to be dirty.
Right.
You say, well, I don't want to have the dirtiness, I don't want to have the problems to clean up. Well, then get rid of the oxen. Because if work's going to be accomplished, things get messed up. If you work at an office, You can have it as straight as possible, and at the end of the day, instead of being organized, stuff is all over the place. And your last 10 minutes of the day, you're putting stuff back in its place, getting stuff, or you're wise to do that. So it's a lot easier when you start the next day, right? But stuff just gets messed up. You're working on a bunch of stuff, you're working on Microsoft Excel, and you save one file, and then you save another version. Before you know it, you got 20 files in Microsoft Excel. You're like, I don't even remember which one's right. It's like I completely forgot, you know, that's what on my job was, just like, which one of these Microsoft Excel versions is. So practice action without striving and everything's going to be in order. Well, you're not going to accomplish anything. And the other thing is this, if you want to look at people that are very disorganized, look at homeless people. They leave quite a mess and they are practicing action without striving. And yet they make the biggest mess in the world, right? And so this idea, well, practice action without striving, there won't be any problems. Now, actually, if you work hard, that's when you're going to clean things up and fix things.
It says this also in the Tao Te Ching, the highest good is like water, for water benefits the 10,000 things without striving. And they talk about how amazing water is because you can just dump it anywhere and it just kind of flows everywhere without any problems. Hey, that's really cute, but that's not the way life works. God says you got to work hard if you want to accomplish something. Another thing they teach in the Tao Te Ching, associated to lack of effort, they teach that wisdom is a bad thing. Wisdom is a bad thing. Like I said, don't learn how to read, okay? You're going to be the most bobo person in the world. Do not learn how to read, okay? It says, stop being learned and your troubles will end. Give up wisdom, discard cleverness, and the people will benefit 100-fold. You're going to be a much better person if you have no wisdom. I mean, look, if you want to read the Tao Te Ching in your free time and look at the context of all this stuff, I'm not trying to take anything out of context. I just have to stop at some of these. I'm like, what in the world? Right? I can't believe there's this much material for a sermon on a less than an hour and a half, hours and a half to read the book, right? What does the Bible say, though, in Proverbs 4, verse 5? Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The Bible says if you want to be successful in life, you need to get wisdom. Look, we want our kids at a young age to get wisdom. Amen. We want them to understand the way the world works. We want them to understand what the Bible teaches. And you know what? If you have the wisdom from God's word, it will change your life. Right. It's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better wife, a better mom, better father. It's going to make you a better employee. It's going to make you successful if you get wisdom. But you know what? In this video game generation, just play video games all day, these first-person shooters or whatever, no wisdom whatsoever, you know it's going to raise a bunch of idiots that just believe every single thing they hear, and that's the world that we live in today, this TV and video game generation. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. We'll look at just a few more places. Another thing they teach is that darkness is good. Darkness is good. It says, darkness within darkness, the gateway to all mystery. You say they teach darkness is good and light is bad. No. Remember, the black and the white are the same thing. Darkness is good and so is light. Okay? Because it says, this is called following the inner light. So it says you should follow the inner light in your life. Darkness is good. Light is good. Well, look, that's very easy to disprove. Just look at all the dark places in the world. You go to a bar or wherever, it's going to be dark. You go to sinful places, it's dark. People commit sins when it's dark, okay? They that are drunken be drunken in the night, the Bible says, okay? Unless, I do know this, some people that work at a call center, they wake up at 7 in the morning, and it's like they're getting drunk during the daytime, but in general, the Bible says drunkenness happens in the night. But see, in the Tao Te Ching, both light and darkness are good things. And it says, follow the inner light. But what does it say in Proverbs 14, verse 12? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, there's a way that seems right, but the end result is destruction in your life. The worst advice you could give someone is follow your inner light. Just follow what seems right to you. Follow where your conscience guides you. Go with your emotions and everything's going to work out. No, actually, don't follow the inner light. Because your inner light is going to be wrong. It's going to deceive you. It's going to trick you. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, well, how do I know what's right and what's wrong and what to do? What does the Bible say?
Right.
Don't follow your inner light. Follow what the Word of God actually says. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And we'll close up in Exodus 20, but the last thing that's associated with this is they teach that a higher power or any sort of authority should not demand worship. They should not demand worship. And they associate it to religion as well, but also as a parent, you should not demand worship from your kids. You should not be harsh with your authority. If those that are underneath you do not want to obey, just let them disobey. That's what it teaches. It says in the Tao Te Ching, chapter 2, verse 11, nourish them without claiming authority. Benefit them without demanding gratitude. Do the work, then move on. So nourish your kids. Don't claim authority. Don't tell your kids no. The word no, your kids should learn when they're like 15 years old, because you should never teach them the word no, because that would be basically demanding authority, right? Benefit them without demanding gratitude. So basically, if you give your kids something, don't ask them to say thank you. right? Don't demand gratitude. What kind of a philosophy is this? It's like whenever we give something to our son, it's like if he doesn't say thank you, it's like, Zeph, you better say thank you. So he doesn't say thank you, then that's coming back, right? You should teach your kids, hey, sorry, please, thank you, basic words. But see, in the Tao Te Ching, it says benefit them without demanding gratitude. Never ask them to say thank you, ever, is what the Tao Te Ching's teaching. Do the work, then move on, it says. It also says giving life without claiming authority, benefiting without demanding gratitude, guiding without control. This is called hidden virtue. Guiding without control. And you know what? It would be great if your kids always obeyed you and everybody underneath you will always obey the authority, but that's not the way it works. Right. And if people test the authority, then the authority has to stand up. Amen. That's the way it works. And see, what does the Bible say in Exodus chapter 20? It says in verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Sounds like God is demanding worship. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." You say, Brother Stuckey, God's a jealous God? I thought jealousy was a bad thing. Well, you haven't been reading your Bible enough. Jealousy is not a bad thing. Now, the way we use that word in our modern day, we consider jealousy and envy are considered the exact same thing. But see, jealousy is when it's something that belongs to you. And God says, you know what? You belong to me. I am a jealous God. I demand you to worship me. It'd be like, for example, a husband. You say, I don't want to be a jealous husband. Well, you haven't been reading the Bible enough. It's like, I don't want to be a jealous husband. My wife can go out and date other men and do whatever. It's like, well, you're a fool. You're following the Tao a little bit too much in your life, my friend. Right? Jealousy is not a bad thing according to the Bible. And see, God demands us to worship him. He proclaims his authority. It is foolish to sit here and say, well, you know, authority doesn't have to do anything. Just, you know, benefit them. Don't ask them to say thanks or anything like that. It's foolish. Look, I'll be with you. This is probably the dumbest religion or philosophy I've ever heard. When you actually look at it. You know what? I believe the reason why it's popular is for one, because people don't want to have any rules or authority, because this is an atheistic sort of religion. So people think it sounds great. Nobody should tell me what to do, right? So people love that. Nobody should tell me what to do. And hey, I don't have to work hard in life. If I just follow that Tao, I'll be successful. That sounds great. It doesn't work that way. You want to be successful in life, you got to work hard. This is probably the dumbest philosophy that you could follow with your life. And you know what? It's going to destroy your life. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see your word in comparison of this other religious or sacred text, God. And help us to realize that there is no comparison between the Bible and any other so-called holy book. There's no comparison between you and any other false god that is out